Yes, this is just pleasing to the enemy, that he wants to dissuade many from the faith. He tries it in many ways to only dissuade the believers from the faith. Last night and this morning, we time and again have heard of the faith, to remain faithful in the faith and in that what God has given us by His grace. We are so grateful that also the songwriter over and again expresses, remain faithful, always follow the Lord, whatever may come. Sometimes it may look as if nothing comes anymore. But you know, everything has its time, everything has its hour. And we see that everything must be fulfilled on the nations, on the people of Israel, and on the bride church, on all of us. Everything must be fulfilled. And we see that it's truly like this. And I think this Paul doesn't speak of unbelievers. But who can fall away from the faith? People who believed, they shall fall away. But I think this gives us enough to think about it, that we hold fast to that what God has given to us by His grace. And we can say He has not given us human opinions, not human traditions, not human interpretations, but He has revealed His will unto us. By grace, He revealed unto us what He plans. And therefore, we don't want to be found in unbelief, not maybe in slackness, not in serenity, but we want to be ready, burning, being ready when the Lord appears, that we are ready to go with Him into His kingdom and into His glory. Brothers and sisters, let the joy of the Lord be not robbed from you through nobody, whoever may come. People might sometimes mean it well, but here it is written so clearly. They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We don't want to give heed to such doctrines, but we want to abide in the Word of God. Only then we can stand our ground. If we remain grounded on the Word of God, beloved, only then we can stand our ground. Yes, may God give us all grace that we joyfully open our mouths and hearts, and that what He speaks to us, that we joyfully receive it, and thanking God for it. It is His will and His desire that He wants to make us ready for His soon appearing. We know the time has expired and His coming is very near. Therefore, we want to make use of every opportunity to come together as long as it is still called today. We don't know whether we still come together like this, but we are so happy and grateful to God that we could come. Yesterday, I spoke with two brothers, and I said, we are glad that you have come. And they answered and said, we are so glad that we could come and that we may be here. This is something wonderful. I think we feel connected. We know here is our home. We belong together. Brothers and sisters, not only for this time on earth, but we belong together throughout all eternities. This is the thing. And for this, we want to give glory to God. Also this afternoon, let us stand up and ask for His blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts. Also for this hour of grace, which You give us again. We thank You, Lord, that we can be here this afternoon to hear together Your word, to receive that what You prepared for us by Your grace. Lord, we give You the glory and the praise and the worship, and we ask You continue to give grace, grace to speak, give grace to hear. Give us open hearts and a humble spirit, Lord. Take everything away, O Lord, what doesn't mean you and give what is necessary. I ask you, bless my brother, Lord. Anoint him with a power from on high and all of us. We need your presence. We need your anointing. We need your good Holy Spirit. Be with us, O Lord. This is our prayer and our desire also this afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who forgiveth all thine sins, who healeth all thy diseases. Is this not a wonderful message? This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which can make us inwardly happy in every situation, in all difficulties. One thing remains to us, namely that what God has done on us. It didn't happen on the surface. It didn't happen, as Brother Brim says, from one revival to the other. What God has done is done for eternity. And therefore we believe that we have received eternal life through the death on the cross of Jesus Christ our Lord. And only unbelief can bring us into destruction or paralyze us. But the faith is and remains the victory which has overcome the world. By faith, we see already Psalms 24 fulfilled. Open ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He has won the victory and will enter glory with his multitude. And then probably also all the heavenly hosts will stop to sing. Then it's our turn to sing the song of the Lamb and the song of Moses, according to Revelation 15. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord Almighty God. And I will see who will sing louder. The redeemed crowd knows what they can sing about. The cherubims and seraphims, who were never lost, they praised the Lord already and will continue to praise him. But when we, after all the sorrow on earth, after all the trouble, arrive there, what a jubilation, what a joy will be there. I tell you, there I will be also able to sing. Here it's not so easy with the voice and sustaining a note. But there, everything will run in such a harmony, and it will be granted to you and to me to behold the Lord who loved us, who pardoned us, who saved us, yes, who came to us and became like us, so that we, after paying the precious price, come then to him to be like he is. This is not only an offer of God, this is divine reality. John writes, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, then we will be like him. People of whom Brother Branham says we live here in a pest house, our earthly body, when we have taken our last breath, then it is given over to its destination, and what remains of it is not much. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. But the divine, the soul, that what happened in us, this we take over. And when we then will be in the resurrection body, We don't remember the former conditions anymore. Everything will be forgotten. As God has thrown everything into the sea of forgetfulness to present us unreprovable in His sight through Golgotha, and the price was expensive enough. Nobody should think that we proclaim a cheap grace. We proclaim that the highest price was paid for our redemption, that the blood of the Lamb of God was shed on the cross of Calvary, and that God turned His face towards us by grace. Outwardly, the sun turned into darkness. The earthquake shook the whole region. But spiritually seen, this was the greatest triumph, and it was the day of the gracious visitation of God when we were redeemed. In the moment in which Calvary is really transfigured unto us in the presence of God, we see a completed work, but not just somewhere in the distance. We see us included in this work. We understand, as we are taught in the Scripture, that God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world and has written our names into the Lamb's Book of Life. We recognize that we have been crucified with Christ, died with Him, being buried with Him, and rose together with Him, and that we sit with Him in heavenly places. Also, this is not a story. This is divine reality. And only unbelief can blur unto us the view to that what God has done. It was read to us in the word of introduction from 2 Timothy 4, a word which is very painful when people who believe, of which there are not too many, because most people don't believe, but when people who believe then fall away, turn away, and when I so listened, the thought came to me, when one passes by a tree and the fruits become ripe, what is falling down there? The worm eaten, they fall down. The others remain on the tree. They remain only where the worm is in it. They fall down. They are then somehow eaten from the inside. And then there's only a thud, and they are down. Let us be watchful that nothing comes into us that can spoil us from the inside. May things come from the outside upon us. May hail and thunderstorm come upon us. This is not bad. Let us be watchful that nothing comes into our inside to spoil us inwardly. And the enemy is very trickery. He will not only make attacks from the outside, he will also try to come into us. May God give us the breastplate of faith and the armor of God, that we recognize His schemes above all, whatever may come. Let us be watchful that nothing enters our heart what could be a harm for ourselves and to others. If we already have spoken about that God has fulfilled His promise and gave us a new heart and a new certain spirit, that He has renewed us and has born us again unto a living hope. Let us bear this divine treasure in earthly vessels, but keeping it that nothing comes into it, no root of bitterness, nothing which only could cause destruction. By nature, no one can stand above everything. We are just people, but by the grace of God, we can be kept safe under the coverage of the blood, under God's protection. We are kept safe. And if already in the Old Testament was done enough when the blood of the killed lambs was applied to the doorposts, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave Himself as a spotless lamb, keeping us safe, preserving us unto the day of His glorious and wonderful return. But it's really important to watch by God's help. And right then, when we least suspect it, the enemy attacks us. It can be like with a virus, with an infectious disease, a thing which can only be seen with a microscope. It starts very little, very tiny. Also, a cancer starts with a little germ which cannot be seen with the eye. But when it spreads, what arises then? And that's how it is sometimes in the life of believers. We think it is a little thing, and of this peanuts, a greater thing arises. And then we don't have it under control any longer. Then it controls us. And one thing is certain. If we don't overcome these things, then they will overcome us. One of the both will then take place. We have not only the hope, but the faith and the certainty that God has chosen us as His elect. I just believe it, based on the fact that the Lord speaks to us as a father with his children, in such a love which everybody must feel. I believe there's no one who has the impression as if God would come here with a club into our midst. We see the Lord who prepares the table for us. We see and experience how He speaks with us and feeds us and leads us deeper into His word and will. I'm grateful for the testimonies which came to my ears of the meeting last night and also of this morning. Oh, how it floods my soul when I hear that God's word has accomplished something in us. What a deep joy penetrates through me in the presence of God, that the word of the Lord does not return void, but it accomplishes for what it was sent for. And if then brothers and sisters come and say, "Brother Frank, the word spoke to me, I was blessed, I felt the presence of God, the Lord was nigh to us." Oh, this is balm, balm for my soul. And I feel also now the presence of God. The Lord is here. He is present. He speaks with us. He blesses us. He wants to form us, molding us, preparing us. He wants to make something out of us, which shall serve for the praise of His glory, not only after the rapture. This comes also, but He will do it before then. He will bless His people beforehand. And as those who have been blessed and perfected by Him, He will then take us over into His glory. There are just a few verses which I will still read, and then I will ask you to pray for me. For half of this world trip, which one can almost say, through all of Australia, New Zealand, then to the United States, via Los Angeles and New York, and then returning. And I hope and believe that God will bless, and that He will give them the answer who cry after Him. You cannot imagine when people are tossed to and fro. One brother comes, he has this doctrine, the other that. People are tossed to and fro. And then the letters come, and they come year by year. And at some point, it's my turn then. And when then a couple of times, independently, is written in various letters, Brother Frank, come, we know that God has appointed you. If nothing affects me in a letter, but then it affects me. And then I say, Lord, I don't want anymore, but I must. I must to bring the word in purity, in truth and clarity, and not only to bring it, but to defend it. I do it without attacking one single brother. My task is not to hurt others. My task is to simply set forth the counsel of God in full conformity of the word and of the message. And thanks be to the Lord that with God nothing has to made fit anymore. It fits from the beginning. If only things are put together properly, then everything fits. Actually, I wanted to have ended with a long October journey through all of India. But as it looks like, I still have to go to Belgium, to Liège. And then there is still Austria and Palermo and Switzerland and maybe even London in December. I didn't want any of that either. But we lay it before the Lord. Resting we can do in glory. I only have one request. Remember me in your prayers. Now, because I see our sister here, I think on South Africa, there is a brother who phones me every 2 weeks and always the same question. Brother Frank, when will you come? When will you come? The brethren in Zaire, they will be angry with me because I cannot come. But God will be with them. And I ask you, who you hear the word at this place. Many hear one or two sermons in 2 or 3 years. We hear the word of God year in, year out. And therefore, we want to remember all them in our prayers in a special way, who are tossed to and fro. They need a binding answer from God. And I say this with a humble heart. This answer I can give from His word at any time. I don't need to go to heaven first to get the answer, as probably written in Deuteronomy 29:29. Don't say in your heart that you go to heaven to receive the word. It is in your mouth. Just speak it. God has revealed His word to us. His will is not in heaven. His will is in His Word, which is available for us, revealed here on earth. And therefore, He teaches us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I'm convinced if we today, in one accord, seek the face of the Lord in prayer and forget everything what is around us, then the blessing of God will come upon us. It will come upon us. God is present. God is present. He is here, not just in words. For the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. From the book of Acts, just a few words to show that the Lord also in former days opened the hearts, no matter whether it were individuals or whether there were more. He always knew whom He sends, when He does it, and who should be called. Here, in the book of Acts, chapter 11, we read from verse 14, Acts, chapter 11, from verse 14, "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?" Let me stop here for a moment. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? A man sent from God with the Word of God. And because it was the Word of God and it was spoken out, therefore the promise was given beforehand, "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?" Such words I want to speak. Such words we want to hear. Words of God, which seize entire houses, which save, which lead to the Lord, and which manifest the salvation of God. And in verse 15 it says, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning." There, where the same word is preached, the same salvation, there the Holy Ghost falls as at the beginning. And we don't need to imagine or picture ourselves how the effects of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit should be or will be. It all comes by itself. And it always comes in a different way than we imagine it. Important is that it does come, that the Holy Spirit can come down, that not only enthusiasm or a good atmosphere is created on the platform, but that the Spirit of God can come down. And I dare to say, also we in these days have heard words which save us, which lead us to God, which reveal unto us His plan. We have not heard the words of man, we have heard the Word of God. And we may believe, and we may count with it, that the Holy Spirit falls on them who have received the Word as a seed in themselves. Oh, that we could get rid of all the distraction of our thoughts and would be gathered here in the presence of God, in the name of the Lord. Only one thing in focus, namely that what God wants to do in this hour, that we leave everything else behind and that we trust the Lord, that He confirms His word here and today, and this on all of us. In verse 16 it says, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that He said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." Oh, then it is wonderful to remember the word of the Lord when it's being fulfilled, when it becomes true. Oh, there we remember the statement of the prophet Joel. "In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." Peter remembered this word on the day of Pentecost and said, here it is being fulfilled what the prophet Joel has spoken and what is written. Peter says here, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord." In that moment, when the word of God is being fulfilled, we remember with thankfulness the promise which He gave in His word and which was then fulfilled on us. Then we have both the promise and the experience, and our hearts can then run over with thanksgiving. "Remembered I the word of the Lord, how that He said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." Then in verse 17, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" No, we are not here to withstand God. We are here to withstand the wiles of the enemy and to prepare the way for the Lord and to make ready the people inwardly to meet the Lord by faith. Here it is written, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ." This is a wonderful statement. We who came to the true faith in Jesus Christ have a right to the same blessings, to everything what was at the beginning in the church and what our brothers and sisters received. In the book of Acts, in chapter 13, we read from verse 38. Acts 13 from verse 38. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Everything what was not possible by the law, because it was given for the condemnation to present us guilty before God, this has become possible through the grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. All things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses is given to everyone. Perfect justification to him that believes. The rest I don't want to read because it doesn't apply to us. From chapter 14, from verse 2, "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. The apostles were not intimidated. They didn't care that a part of the population was against them. They only had to fulfill one task, namely to serve God, to preach His word, and their faithfulness was rewarded thereby that God confirmed His word. Here it says, and they preached boldly, trusting the Lord. Also we put our trust alone in the Lord, and therefore we cannot be put to shame, and preached boldly, trusting the Lord, who gave testimony unto the word of His grace, by granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. He granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. As we said it here sometimes, when the Lord wants to speak now, He needs a mouth to then speak through it. The word is written, but it must be quickened. It must be revealed. The connections must be put together. And if God wants to bless, He can also use hands. Hands of them who put their trust in Him. And therefore, He will confirm the word which is preached also today. In your soul, in your spirit, in your body, the word of the Lord does not return void. It's confirmed by God. It accomplishes for what He has sent it. From Acts chapter 14, I read verse 26. Acts 14 from verse 26. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Here, the word fulfilled is written in connection with a ministry, with that what God has done. Beloved, this should overwhelm us. God confirms His word. God blesses. God helps. He stands to every promise which He ever has given, and He is ready to fulfill it and to give us what He promised. Before that, it's written, where they had preached the word in Perga, and then they moved on, and God confirmed His word, and they didn't think anything of it. They arranged a church gathering and reported what God has done through them. Beloved, so far we have only done this in headings, But also we can from this time report some things of that what God has done, of that what He in countries, in churches, among the nations, and on individuals has done in this time by His grace. In chapter 15, we still read some verses, namely from verse 8. Acts 15 from verse 8. And God, who knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. This text spoke to me so much, in particular the thought, He made no difference between them and us. On one hand, the believers from the Jews. On the other hand, the believers from the nations. And then the assessment, God made no difference between the believers. Just the contrary. They have heard the same word. They could make the same experiences with God. I ask you, shall He make today a difference with us? Is it not written in all of our Bibles? There is no respect of persons with God. God makes no difference. Dear brother, precious sister, the same what was there for the church at the beginning is at the end here for her. This is restoration in the true sense of the word. This is it when the church is returned to the condition originally intended for it by God. And this is the kernel of the message. I will send you the prophet Elijah, who shall restore all things. This is actually the promise which the Lord, after the ministry of John the Baptist, has given. It is written in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 17, and is well known to all of us. It is the 11th verse, Matthew 17, verse 11. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Future tense. In reference to John, he could say, Elijah came already, for John came in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. But here, the Lord speaks very clearly, pointing to the future. Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. If somebody believes that Brother Branham was sent from God, then he shall also believe that by the preachings, the divine order must be restored. And whoever does not submit into this divine order, he should be told that he is not part of it. God will not make any exceptions. With Him there's no respect of persons. When the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, like on the day when prophets and apostles have written it down. And what do many do with a word that hits them, but which they don't want to be true? Then it doesn't count for them anymore. Let us be watchful that we don't place ourselves above any word, but that we can submit to every word, and this with all our hearts. with gratitude that God still speaks with us. Beloved, if God had not planned anything with us, then He would let us go, and He would not make Himself the efforts to speak with us in such an insistent way. No, God means well with us, and He wants to see everything restored. And in this connection, it's written in Acts 3, verse 20 and 21, in reference to our Lord and Savior, Him the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Some wonder why Brother Branham sometimes has used the Old Testament. It is always the same God who speaks. Must He correct one word? Must He take back one verse? No, the holy mouth of the Lord has spoken. Blessed is the man who can receive the whole word of God as the word of God, as binding to be aligned and to accept divine correction. Here we have the wonderful confirmation, as we quoted it already, from the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 8. And God, who knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us. And put no difference between us and them. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. He made no difference between them who became believers at the beginning or who were added later on. It stayed and remained to this day the same word, the same experiences, the same Holy Spirit who hovers over the church, who comes down, who wants to fill us so that we overflow. Always there, where the word was preached, the Spirit came down. Shall it be different today? No. We feel that the Spirit of God is upon us, but He wants to come into us so that it can sputter according to the Scripture. When the Spirit has come upon you, then He will be in you a well of water springing up into eternal life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I believe that's right. I believe it's His will. He wants that we have eternal life, and He wants that we have the fullness of God, the fullness of the Spirit in this eternal life. At that time, He did not make any difference, neither does He make one today. If people can testify that they became believers 20 or 30 years ago and the Spirit came upon them, why should we not experience it today? God does not change His word. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, that He could penetrate us with His word and with His Spirit, and that something could break forth in us that springs up to Him and gives glory to Him. Just one more verse which testifies of it, that among the listeners was a woman whom the Lord opened her heart. Acts 16, verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. What was it? God was gracious. Among the listeners, that's how it says, was a God-fearing woman whose heart the Lord opened, and she gave ear to the words of Paul. And she was, as we can read later on, and she says here, if ye really have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, then come into my house and abide there. What a work of God. A heathen woman. Or was she Jewish? I didn't look it up. I had no time for it. Doesn't matter. A woman hears the word of the Lord, receives the word that she hears, she believes, and already she invites the servants of God. If you consider me to be a faithful believer in the Lord, then come in my house and stay there. The Lord wants to make disciples out of us who are faithful, who also invite one another without that havoc comes up, that blessing comes up. Oh, we are longing for a time when every visit in every house becomes a blessing, where the presence of God can be with us and the peace and the grace of God can accompany us, that we leave traces of blessing behind. Here, at one go, God made a mighty, a thorough work. He opened her heart. The same Lord opened your and my heart for His word. And we believed the sermon which was preached to us. And we are not ashamed to testify that God had a Paul and also a Brother Branham to give us divine instruction. But all the glory and all the praise belongs to Him to whom it is due, namely to the Lord, our God, and this from eternity to eternity. It really touched me when I think about how faithful God is and how loving He speaks with us. And I dare to say that everyone who opens his heart has understood the language of God and afterward can also speak it. You all know, if one learns another language, then one understands at first much more than one can express and speak. Yes, but here it shall go now hand in hand. Our words shall be as the oracles of God. We shall not only hear Him, we shall and may understand Him, and we may say what He has said, no matter in which language. Believers speak the language of God. Hallelujah! A word of God revealed by the Holy Spirit. And they may not be able to communicate in the earthly language, but the deep unity by the Spirit of God in the heart, it is just there, because we speak the same spiritual language and believe the same word of our God. I can just say, may the faithful God visit us all so graciously that also we could say, we remember the words which He has spoken, when we can see and experience them in their fulfillment in our midst by His grace. May the Almighty God, who at the beginning did not make any difference between them and the first, may He also let us know today, I am the first and I am the last. As I was at the beginning, so I am at the end, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Our Lord can do the same today, for also we have heard the same word, and the Spirit of God comes upon those who have heard and received His word. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. I don't know whether we want to come to the front or just stand up. As you feel, be free. We are in the presence of God. Important is that we worship in one accord. Let us stand up for it. Faithful God, once again I thank You with a humble heart, but with deep gratitude for the great privilege which You have given us in this lost and confused world. You have taken us aside. We were allowed to follow You. We received and accepted You. You have revealed Your word and Your will unto us. Yes, we have received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank You that You kept and carried me until this day. I thank You for all my brothers and all my sisters, and we lay before You the still remaining days, weeks, months, or years, whatever it might be. We lay them into Your hands. O God, You have given us life, and we bring it back to You. Take us and use us according to Your counsel and will, beloved Lord. We are available for You. Girdle us. Lead us Your way according to Thy will. Hallelujah. Faithful Master, let me see and experience the preparation of the blood-bought multitude, the people with whom You made the covenant by sacrifice on Calvary. Beloved Lord, we thank You that You suffered and died for us. Savior, You will have a bright church, for You are the bridegroom of our soul. And at the end we will look back and say, it has been fulfilled what the Lord has spoken. It took place what God promised. Hallelujah. Praise and honor to Your wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.